Joining us on the line now is George Stevens Jr. He's a director, writer, producer and playwright. He's the founder of the American Film Institute, the creator of the AFI Life Achievement Award and the Kennedy Center Honors, and has served as co-chair of the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities for President Obama. His awards and honors include 15 Emmys and 8 Writers Guild Awards. His autobiography, My Place in the Sun, Life in the Golden Age of Hollywood and Washington, brings to life almost 90 years of American film history and culture. Welcome to the show, George.
Well, it's lovely to talk with you. Thank you.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us on the show. Thanks so much for joining us. I was really interested looking back and kind of reading back over your life. And I mean, you basically grew up on movie sets, didn't you?
Well, my father, as you described, was a great director. And yes, so the movies were part of my life since shortly after I was born. Yes.
And your whole family, I mean, your grandmother, aunts, uncles, other family members, all entertainers.
It's amazing that, you know, sometimes it takes writing a book like this to realize what your life has been like. And I was not so fully informed about, you know, this show business background that my great-grandmother was a stage actress in San Francisco, started when she was 10 years old, and she was the youngest Ophelia to the greatest American Hamlet, Edwin Booth. And she started 5 generations of Stevenses in show business.
Incredible. So when you're growing up in it, it's just normal life for you, isn't it? I see what you mean about it difficult to associate it as being showbiz when it's just your childhood.
Yes, and I would visit my father on the sets, but still, I had a rather normal childhood. It wasn't consumed by movies. That kind of came a little bit later.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into the business yourself then, and obviously the setting up of the American Film Institute?
Well, my father, the summer I graduated from high school, he'd been away at war for 3 years, and I didn't have a job, and so he gave me work, and there were 2 things he asked me to do. One was to read Theodore Dreiser's An American Tragedy and outline every character and plot point in parts 1 and part 2, because he was about to start the screenplay of A Place in the Sun based on Dreiser's American Tragedy. The other was to read books that came from the Paramount studio where my father had his company, and scripts and things like that. And I was 17, and reading a lot of treacly love stories on hot summer afternoons was not a great treat. But one day, a small book came, and I read it in the afternoon. And I went that evening to my father, and my father was in bed reading. And I walked in with this book, and I said, "Dad, this is really a good story. I think you ought to read it." And he looked at me, and he said, "Why don't you tell me the story?" So I walked around my father's bed, doing my best to recollect the details and tell him the story of Shane. And, of course, Shane would be his next movie, and I would work on it in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the next summer. So that's sort of the way I got into it.
Yeah, and that gave you a real taster and got you excited about it, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about the journey to setting up the American Film Institute, because that was obviously a massive thing to do, and hopefully that's going to be around forever.
Well, it's 50 years and counting, which is pretty good. That I had this change in my life at age 29. I'd been directing Alfred Hitchcock Presents and Peter Gunn and other television shows, and working with my father most recently on The Diary of Anne Frank. And Edward R. Murrow, the great broadcaster who was in London during the Blitz, reporting to the world, had agreed to head the United States Information Agency for President Kennedy. And he asked me to come back and run the motion picture division and make the documentaries that were shown around the world. And then while in Washington, during the Kennedy years, the National Endowment for the Arts, the first funding for the arts in the USA, was started. And they didn't know quite what to do about film. And I proposed an American Film Institute. And then I was asked to be its founding director. And our job was to, there was many of the great films were lost, and there was a huge film preservation effort and a program to train filmmakers, which is now known as the AFI Conservatory. And so many of the great directors of the last half century have come from the AFI. Terrence Malick, David Lynch, just a host of them.
Yeah. You must be incredibly proud of starting that.
Well, it's very satisfying that it continues and that it has a structure that we think it will continue through time. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, both of those things, you know, preserving and finding the lost films and forgotten films, some of them, and also training the younger directors and giving them a chance. Both of those things, hugely important.
Well, it's interesting. Also, quality is important. And in writing this book, you write things and remember things. And I write about going in 1951 to the Academy Awards with my father and sitting next to him. And Joseph Mankiewicz, the director of All About Eve, which had won the Oscar the year before, came out to and give the Oscar for Best Directing. And he read the nominees. It was John Huston for The African Queen, William Wyler for Detective Story, Vincent Minnelli for An American in Paris, Elia Kazan for A Streetcar Named Desire, and George Stevens for A Place in the Sun. And I wouldn't be telling you this story if Mankiewicz hadn't opened the envelope and said, A Place in the Sun. But Dad was driving the car, riding home, and my mother and his mother, the actress Georgie Cooper, were in the back seat. We were in front, and the Oscar was on the seat between us. And I remembered my father, maybe I was, I guess, 17, 18. And he looked at me and kind of smiled. And he said, you know, he said, we'll have a better idea what kind of a film this is in about 25 years. And this was before Cinematheques and videotape and streaming. Movies came and went. But he had this idea of quality and the test of time. And the test of time really became very much a part of the American Film Institute. You know, the films that last. And so that was a great influence on me and was helpful to me with the AFI, with the Kennedy Center Honors, and in my own filmmaking.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You hear people all the time talking about classic films, and it's really interesting when talking about films and music, to be honest. I've had similar conversations with people about music. When you think about classic films or classic music from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, you know, how much of them have stood the test of time. And it's interesting to try and work out how many artists, either in music or in film, are going to be remembered and still loved in 50 years' time.
It's a fascinating thing to think about. And of course, it's been my life, and I knew so many of the, you know, those directors I mentioned, and David Lean and others, and love to see the new ones who are coming along. And you think that their work may stand the test of time, but we will only know in time.
Yes. And also the setting up of the Kennedy Center Honors. Again, some great work's been done there, honoring some fantastic people in entertainment. How did that come about?
Well, it grew out of my association with President Kennedy. The idea for it, I presented and sold just with a sentence, words carved in the marble of the Kennedy Center, which is the memorial to President Kennedy, with whom I worked. I look forward to an America that will not be afraid, of grace and beauty, and will reward achievement in the arts, the way we reward achievement in business and statecraft. And this was became our method of honoring the great figures in the performing arts. And it occurred to me, and I think what people seem to find fascinating about this book, and I didn't realize it when I was writing it, I realized it more when I'd finished it, that I've, through my life, first in Hollywood, then in Washington, with the Kennedy Center Honors, we honored, in my time, 188 of the greatest figures in the performing arts.
Gosh.
And it is these friendships and associations that I've had through my entire life that I write about. There are just wonderful people in this book. It's really, I realize what has made my life so interesting.
Yes, for sure. And how about your time working with President Obama?
Well, that was wonderful. I mean, I had been so close to the Kennedys, and, you know, we lost both President Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and we were always looking for someone with those qualities. And I met Barack Obama when he first came to Washington, and actually at the annual Robert Kennedy Human Rights Award, he was the speaker. And he brought, at that event, Robert Kennedy into the present and the future. And I realized in my mind that he would be a very impressive candidate for president, and had the pleasure of working with him and in a small way helping that come about.
Mm, fantastic. And there must be so many, but is it possible to think of some highlights from your career as a writer, you know, some of the many things that you've won awards for?
Well, yes, of course, the Kennedy Center Honors, which I wrote and produced for 37 years. I'm very proud of two films. One is called Separate But Equal, which was a four-hour miniseries for television that won the Emmy and starred Sidney Poitier as Thurgood Marshall, which is the story of the Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court case that ruled that Separate But Equal was not good enough, that segregation was illegal. And it was the world, you know, one of the most important Supreme Court decisions ever. And it's a very good, well-told story, I believe. And the other was I made a film about my father called George Stevens, A Filmmaker's Journey, which is still being shown and I think kind of stands the test of time. And that was tremendously rewarding to be able to tell your father's story using clips from his films. And so those were a couple of that give me pleasure in retrospect.
Yeah, wonderful. And it must have been a real joy putting this book together as well, looking back over your whole life and career and remembering all the amazing things that you've done and that has happened.
It is. It was a bit of a struggle, as all a challenge, let's say. But you know, again, a very rewarding one because you look at your own life and try to bring some truth to it.
Well, I'm sure lots of people will be desperate to read the book. It's called My Place in the Sun, Life in the Golden Age of Hollywood and Washington. It's by George Stevens Jr., who we've had the honour of chatting with today. It's available on our website, tre.radio. George, thank you so much for joining us on Talk Radio Europe.
Oh, I just love this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.